Wednesday, July 7th, I got the kinfolks off to Fredericksburg. Betty Weinheimer, his escort officer. Griffin had to go back to his job. Elaine, Edwina, Bernice, and Lynn were thrilled to drive in to see the Pioneer Museum, my little log cabin church, St. Barnabas, and the new version, the Sunday houses, the architecture and local color that makes Fredericksburg a page out of the past. I settled down to organize, telephone, record, be a housekeeper and an executive, all badly needed. They returned, all talking at once, very excited and very delighted with everything they'd seen. Just the sort of thing that makes a hostess beam. I was especially charmed by Betty Weinheimer. We had a good country lunch. And then I took them down to go through the house where Lyndon was born. I must find another name besides the birthplace house. It sounds so foolishly self-important. I think I'll try the old Sam Johnson house. They love Lyndon's great-grandmother's quilt. Exclaimed when they saw the corner cabinet made out of what was my grandmother's wardrobe. Actually, in fact, a very copy of one that Elaine herself has. And seeing hers is what made me do it. And then Elaine said, I'm going to send you your grandmother, Sarah Jane Myrick Patilla's dresser. It's just about like this one here that Mrs. Johnson had. Only Elaine said, prettier. Also, she asked me if I'd like a little marble top table. I shall love getting them. It's odd, as one grows older, even if you live so tempestuously and busily in the present, as we do, but you look at the past with more respect and interest. Back at the ranch, I talked with Linda. She told me an hilarious story, having gone to the Pink Garter in Jackson Hole the night before, and a blushing tourist being called up from out of the crowd when nobody volunteered, escorted to the stage, and serenaded with, Oh, You Beautiful Doll. The lady was about 55, from Brooklyn, a good sport, and she and the audience both howled. Linda also told me of walking up the mountain to Inspiration Point, this in the Grand Tetons. I do not remember where Inspiration Point is. She said that she wasn't really a nature girl, no great hiker. It wasn't really dangerous, but a crew had passed them on the way up carrying a stretcher far, as they said, a stiff. A man farther up the mountain had had a heart attack and died. And also she said something that brought a pang to my heart. She'd been talking to her daddy. He sounded lonesome. She said, you know, Mother, he's never the same without you. She'd called Jack Valenti to inquire about the war on the Catholic front, Lucy and her troubles, and ask about Lyndon. And he felt, too, that he was tense and lonesome. I feel selfish, as though I was insulating myself from pain and troubles down here. But I do know I need it. And then, about 5 o'clock, Lane and Bernice and Lynn and Liz and I helicoptered over to the Haywood. I was determined to try to water ski without the sort of gallery that is here whenever Lyndon is present. They're awkward to handle those long things in the water. But I finally got them on and tried 3 times, each time getting rather crouchingly erect for a few feet and then falling ingloriously on my face with a loud whack. I guess the simple fact is I should have begun 20 years ago. So then I swam a long way to reassure myself that I still at least had endurance, climbed back on the boat, and we drove slowly up under the bridge, the part that is my favorite, where the lower Colorado River is narrow, and there's a tamed and peaceful look to the landscape. We passed 2 bridges by the old railroad built in the 1880s to carry the pink granite to build the capital of the state, Texas, still runs. In a great frame hotel, Victorian style, built around the turn of the century, so they tell me. I want to explore it sometime. Then, of course, there was no dam and lake, but there was a river. 2, in fact, the Llano and the Lower Colorado. And people did come out in the summer to fish and rock on the front porch. I wonder if they swam. It would be fun to know about. We stopped back at the boathouse at 7 to pick up the Dale Malachecks and Pat Taylor and Tom and Betty Weinheimer. Tom, veteran of 16 missions in the South Pacific, and returned to his own native Gillespie County to lead a rancher's life with his pretty bright, capable little wife, Betty, music teacher, voice teacher, natural community leader, talked to me about a rancher's life.
About how?
And it is a hard one. The land is so high, exorbitantly priced in our area, and without irrigation, the farmer is a slave to the weather. Actually, goats are the most reliable money crop and sheep, but a rancher can't get away from loving Whiteface Herefords. He and Betty are so happy that their son has been appointed to the Merchant Marine. This is something we were able to do for them, really through the kindness of Hubert Humphrey, whose appointment it was. Betty and Tom had bought a book on Catholicism for Lucy with a sweet inscription. They'd sent me some peaches earlier in the day, the best of their crop, and also a bar of sweet-smelling pink soap in the shape of a peach. It's odd how people who have so little to give, really, often are the ones who do give. Pat and I talk flowers, and we are going to get some seeds of a certain bright red flower that blooms in July. The Weinheimers have a good stand of. I need things for July and August and on into the fall. I like to express my appreciation, spend some time with my neighbors when I can. That is what this evening was planned for. There are so many who do so much for us, the Johnsons. Jessie Hunter had been along. She told me there had been 973, I believe that's the figure, who had signed the guest register over the four-day holiday weekend. There had, of course, been more. Some don't sign, and many sign Mr. and Mrs. John Jones and family, which we count as just two.